Got your Bible, go to the book of Revelations, chapter 2. I flew into Thessalonica, went down to Philippi, Lydia. Lydia's a little place about a 10-minute drive out of Philippi. And we left Lydia, come back to Philippi, back up through Carver, went over to Berea, left Berea, went into Athens, went to Mars Hill, went down to Corinth. We were supposed to go into Ephesus. Turkey was having some problems inside, internal problems, and they recommended us not to come, so we didn't, so we called a ship. We rode for 10 hours. We went to the Isle of Patmos. I really didn't know what to expect when we got to Isle of Patmos. We got there at 3 o'clock in the morning. No taxis, no nothing. We had to walk to the motel. And we got there to the motel, and we lay down, slept for 2 or 3 hours, got up, got started, and I found out that the Isle of Patmos now has pretty well been turned into a tourist city. But we called a cab and rode up to the top of the mountain. There the Greek Orthodox had a mausoleum built. We went through that, paid the price, everything charging. We left there, we came about halfway back down the mountain. We stopped at John the Revelator's cave. We went in, and they wouldn't let us take any pictures, anything. But we went there, and I was give out. I was the oldest fella in the group. I was tired. We had walked and walked and walked. So I sat down, and I was looking at the cave. I was about as far from here, maybe to the doorway over there. The cave, and I sat on a rock. I said, I wonder if John sat here on this rock. I said, God, if you can do all that for John, you could do a little something for me. I'd appreciate it. Just a minute, a little breeze come up that side of that mountain. Hair stood up on my head. And I said, you know, God's still here.
Amen.
Still here. When you start in the book of Revelations, you see that John was pastor of the church at Ephesus. He had been arrested. He had been boiled and all. He didn't die. They carried him to the Isle of Patmos. There's a penal colony. You can get up on top of that mountain, you can see the sea all the way around. John was there, and he was in his cave. When he was 90 years old, they took him back to Ephesus, and he died. While he was there, the Bible says it was on the Lord's day, and he was in the Spirit. I'm in chapter 1. We're going to get to chapter 2 in a minute. On the Spirit, John said he heard somebody speak. We find that's the Lord that's speaking to it. The Lord says, John said, I want you to write a letter to all seven of the churches. There's your mind. He said, John, let's start with the church that you pastored.
That's right.
Church at Ephesus. You got your Bible. Chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience, and how that thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say that they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne them, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Let's pray. Father, We ask for your help today. God, as we stand before these gentlemen and ladies, Lord, men of God, ladies of God, Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you would bless them and help them today. And God, help us. Lord, we never stand in our pulpit, much less someone else's. But Lord, I dare not stand alone. I pray, God, for your touch this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Here we have a portion of Scripture that talks about an abandoned affection. Something that they've had, and they have abandoned that. Abandoned affection. I find here, as I look at the speaker in verse 1, the holy presence there of the Lord. His chief role, the Bible says, he's holding. He's holding. He has something in his hands that he's holding. And then his humbling person there, his clear recollection, the Bible says he walketh. He holdeth the heartbeat of the churches in his hand. And he walketh amongst the churches. I'm glad he's not in one place. I'm glad we didn't have to go to Rome this morning to worship God. Amen. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
I'm glad that the Bible teaches us that he is omnipresent. And the Bible goes a little further to help us who start churches. And I've started one, brother. Amen. I've looked at my wife and wondered if anybody else was coming. Amen. But we've watched as God move. He promised where two or three are gathered together in his name, he'd be there. But yet I find him on this particular Lord's Day on the Isle of Patmos on the side of that mountain, and it's just he and John. And he's revealing something. That's the reason they call him John the Revelator. God revealed something to him. God showed him something. God showed him the church. God showed him the administrative part of the church. God showed him who's got the church in his hand. God showed him that he's walking amongst the churches and how precious that is. Any good when God shows up?
Amen.
When God shows up. We see in verses 2 and 3 the splendor of his hard work there. Let's look back at that. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou hast not bear them which are evil, and which has tried them which say that they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and have not fainted. He says, I'm aware of your work, the sound service in duty. He finds nothing wrong with their duty.
That's
right. Nothing wrong with their duty. They have upheld their duty. I praise God for people who are faithful and responsible in the places of duty.
Amen.
But there's a danger.
Yes.
We'll get to that in a few moments. He exposed nothing wrong with the duty of their labors. Thank God for those people who are there. Every time the door opens, amen, in the church. Every time the lights is on. Thank God for those faithful people who are there. Thank God for the pillars of the church. Thank God for those people who we're able to put confidence and trust in, and who will accept their part and responsibility of the ministry and go on. Thank God for them. Not only wasn't the sound service in duty, he said, but they took a good strong stance in doctrine. You go back, he says, you don't find anything wrong with their doctrine. I love it, amen, whenever I ponder this passage of Scripture. And I don't find anything wrong with the service of the people, the duty of the people. They are responsible people. They feel their place. And he says their doctrine is good. Thank God for the good stand back in the 40s and early 50s that the fundamental independent Baptist King James sin hating, God-fearing, Bible-believing people took.
Amen.
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 And folk, I tell you honestly, we need to slip back to that a little bit. Amen. Because I believe Christendom today is slipping away.
Amen.
We need to come back to that. Come back to it. So their hard work, splendid hard work that they are doing. They're sound in their service, in their duty to God. They've took a good strong stance in doctrine, and it's there for them, and we're thankful for that, and how they're going to be there and how they're going to stand. Then in verse 4, let's drop on down. Nevertheless. What does that mean? There's something lesser. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because I have left thy first love. A great matter, nevertheless. Whenever God can look at us and say, hey, I appreciate the duty, I appreciate the doctrine, nevertheless. What's he done? He's found a flaw. He's found a fault. God is looking. God holds the church in his hand. God walketh amongst the candlesticks. God says your duty is wonderful. You've stayed by the stuff. You've stuck by the stuff. You've kept the doctrine good along the way. He said, but yet there's a problem. Nevertheless, there's a problem. All is not great. Amen. All is not great. John, you pastored that church over there. John, you led that church over there at Ephesus. God, they have maintained the duty of a good church. They have maintained the doctrine of the good church. But John, all is not well. All is not well. All is not good. There's some things he said, it's just not good. What a grave mistake. He said, I have somewhat against thee. When the Lord looks at us and says, I've got something against you. I've got something against you. I've got something against you. My, how a countenance would fall. How our expectations, how our ambitions, how our desires would crumble as a paper bag with pressure upon it. When God says, I've got something against you. All is not well. All is not well. All is not good. Grave mistake has taken place. You made a great, but God, we've been so busy. But God, we kept our doctrine straight. God, we've dotted the I's and we've crossed the T's, every little dot and tittle. God, we took care of along as we went. God, we've done the best I can, he said, but all is not good. All is not good. He said, I have discovered some unhelpful signs. The health of the church is not in good shape. The health of the church. I had a fellow in church, Sunday was a week ago, and I was talking to him, and he's a contractor, and he said, back of my head sore, hurts. He said, my left arm is numb. He said, I just don't feel good. His wife said, I've been trying to get him to go to the doctor, and he won't go. Well, Sunday afternoon, it got a little worse, so she took him on over to Duke. And they found out his brain was bleeding in the back. So Tuesday, they bored holes in his head to let the pressure off of that. You don't know what's wrong with you.
That's right.
You may be here today and feel great. Tomorrow, you may be a statistic.
Yeah.
You don't know.
That's right.
We look at this church at Ephesus and we say, surely, that was a magnificent church. It has a tremendous testimony. There was working people. The doctrine is good, but God says she's not healthy. She's not healthy. some signs there. It's not health. Some unsatisfactory situations have taken place. God says there's some unhealthy signs, and to be honest with you, this church that you pastored said some things there's unsatisfactory. Unsatisfactory. I'm glad I don't belong to a hierarchy, a religious order. Amen. That comes around and inspects everything. Amen. Amen. I try to keep things decent and in order. That's what the Bible said. Doesn't it say nothing about Robert's rules of order? It said decent and in order. Amen. So we try to keep it that way. Amen. Unsatisfactory situations have taken place. He said a grievous move has happened. Something has moved. Grievous. It's hurtful. It's a hindrance. A move has transpired. A move. Disregarded. Maybe an afterthought. We stop and think about that. He said, you've left something behind. You've left something behind. In the hustle and the bustle and the building and the programs and the promotions and all this stuff, you've done a fantastic job, John, but you've left something behind. Something you've walked away from. You've disregarded it. Maybe it was just sort of an afterthought, and you went on your way. Well, we'll take to that later. We'll get that later on. Right now, we're involved in this, and we want to get this done, and we got this promotion going here, and we got this program going over here, and we got a meeting going on back yonder, and got a meeting going on over yonder. We got people that say the land. Who are they? Trustees over yonder, got a meeting with the trustees over yonder, the deacons over yonder, the Sunday school teachers over yonder, education committees over yonder, the flower committees back here, and all this kind of stuff. And all this stuff is going on all the time, and the right hand don't know what the left hand's doing. It's a real biblical church, isn't it? I found out something a few years ago. Pastor is the president of every committee in the church. If he's not, he's got a problem.
Amen.
He's the president of every committee in the church. Even the ladies' auxiliary.
That's right.
Amen. He's president of that too. That's the only way you can keep things decent in order.
Amen.
Amen. Said, who are you, a dictator? No, but I'm not a sweet tater either. Amen. I'm a communicator. I want to make sure when it's all said and done, everything glorifies God.
Amen.
Amen. That's what we're after. Amen. So he said, some dissolvement here has been allowed. In the process of all this, you've walked away from something. You said you'd take care of it later. And it's sort of dissolvement has been allowed here to come in and so forth. A departure or an abandonment has taken place. And you've gone on with your program. You've gone on with it. May I say there, gentlemen, there's a danger in getting caught up in programs and we forget to pray.
Amen. That's right.
I know there's some good programs out there. I know God's word's a better one. We stay with God's word. Rather ghastly monstrosity. The first love. First love. The first love. That first excitement. That first devotion. That first it brought us to our knees to worship. That wonderful thought of our sins being forgiven. Yeah. That marvelous idea that we had eternal life. Yeah. Amen. There's something there that's been abandoned in that. He said, that first love. That first love. Active. Oh, you're very active, but there's a lack of affection there. You're very active. Thank God for the activity. Amen. I don't like a day of church. I like things going on, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. I like activity. Amen. But I want to be real careful there about the affections that's going on. The affection. The affection. Productivity. A lot of productivity going on, but there's a loss of passion. A loss of passion. That drive. That thing that makes us get up and go. I went to the doctor the other day and my nose was all stopped up. My pollen had messed me up. And I said, I got a hold of this stuff and it works wonderful, but it only works about an hour and a half. And she said, you ain't supposed to have that. You ought not take that. And I said, well, I done violated one of the rules. I do it often, more often than I should. And she said, you're fixing to do it more days than you should, too. So she gave me something else to squirt up my nose, keep me breathing so I could go. But whenever the phone rings, fellas, we got to go.
That's right.
I learned something early on in the ministry. If you're not available when they need you, they don't need you.
That's right.
And the doctor said the other day, she said, you have an awesome responsibility. She said, whenever I'm off, there's somebody to cover for me. I said, I can't be off because there's nobody to cover for me. Home or away, night or day, the phone rings, you've got to be there. You've got to be there. Think about it. The passion had peaked out. The passion. That draws us together. That draws us toward Him. Had peaked out. We've allowed other things to splinter off and go in different directions and other ways. And our first love, that first drive that we had, that wonderful thing that brought us into this marvelous ministry of God is missing. Missing. Just look in verse 5. He said, remember from whence thou hast fallen, and repent, and do the first works, else I will come and unto thee quickly, and will remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Except thou repent. There's a suggestion here for healing. If there's something wrong, the church is sick. If we are departing from the scriptural principles of the Word of God, then a sickness has set in the church, and the church needs some healing. We need revival.
Amen.
We hear tell of meetings and jubilees and camp meetings and all that. Hallelujah for them. We need them. But we need an old-fashioned God-sent revival.
Amen.
I didn't know I was in the commode until Brother Florence said me. Now it scares me about the next president. I don't want to go down the drain. Remember, there's some healings. He said, remember, that challenges our condition. Remember where we were? Remember where we come from. Remember what God has done for us. That challenges our condition where we at right now. Challenges our condition. He says, repent. That means to change one's direction. It's not that everything we are doing is wrong. It's not that all the programs are wrong. It's the problem is we have got so engrossed in these things and what other people is doing, and we're trying it. We forgot God. He says, return. Correct one's affections. Return. Return. I read this and I studied this. And I got my little outline together. And I couldn't get it off of my mind. And I thought, now, God willing, December the 10th, Mrs. Wood and I will be married 60 years, brother. 60 years. 40 years of that we have given God in the ministry. We have basically given God our life. What will it be if one morning I'm sitting there at the dining room table drinking coffee with my Bible open, and usually I get up early and this is what I do. And she gets up and she comes down the hallway and she looks at me and says, I don't love you anymore. How would that be? What if some morning she came down the hall and I'm sitting there with my cup of coffee in my hand and she walks through the door into the kitchen dining room area and I said, hey, I don't love you anymore. How devastating that would be. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what it would do to her, but I know what it would do to me after all these years and our faithfulness in serving God. Amen. If this happened, it'd destroy me, fellas. Because she's been my girl Friday and my good right arm for a long time. I could not have done the things that God has allowed me to do if it had not been for that woman. The doctor in Virginia Beach told us one time, he looked at her and said, you got the second hardest job in the world. He said, your husband's got the first one. What if one morning we went to church? And the angel of the church showed up right in the midst of our service. And the angel of the church says, God don't love you anymore. How devastating that would be. But the Bible says, he said, but God don't love you anymore. God don't love you anymore. Well, that would tear aside the frame. How do you think God feels when we look at him? We say, God, I don't love you anymore. It's not that what the angel said, John, write to the church at Ephesus. You don't love God anymore. What do you think to the heart of God after all he's done for us? Our heart. Father, I'm glad you love us. God, I pray if we keep our right mind, we'll never stop loving you. God, I look back through the years, God, and I see what you've done for me and where you brought me from. God, I'm intelligent enough to know I could not have done all that without you. So, God, I give you the glory. God, I pray today for those that's gathered before us. Lord, those throughout the countryside. God, those up in Vance County and Henderson, across our great state. God, across the United States of America. God, I pray the church of the living God, would come back to you and love you, Lord, like you have loved them through the years. God, help us not to abandon our first love. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.